Sisters, if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to our text this morning? You'll find it in Paul's letter to the Colossians as we are working our way through this letter. Chapter 2, and taking just two verses this morning. It was painful to do just these two verses, because it's tied so intimately through verse 15, and then, of course, is just setting the stage for everything that comes in the rest of the book, and I knew I couldn't do that. So, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, remember what Paul has already said. He's told us, because the gospel of grace, that is the forgiveness of sins through the work of Christ, is bearing fruit and growing, and because this Christ and his glorious work in redemption, in creation and recreation, because of his work and the blood of the cross, we can have peace with God. And because this ministry of reconciliation, this mystery that has been hidden for ages but is now being revealed and proclaimed through servants like Paul, because of this, therefore, verse 6, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, apart from the Holy Spirit, your words will indeed remain hidden to us. And so, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would hear and receive your word this day, as you have given us of your Spirit, Lord. Now, O Spirit, work in us and give us insight and wisdom and understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you, I assume, are familiar with the Fiddler on the Roof tradition.
Popped it right off here.
It's tradition. It revolves around tradition and the challenges to those traditions and the struggles that it creates. Old patterns, old traditions, giving way to new ideas and behaviors, breaking with the old. Tevye's troubles all revolve around tradition. Now, the traditions that he wants to hold on to were those that allowed them as a people and as a family to maintain an identity, a culture, a faith, generation after generation after generation. So there was a tremendous amount of tension as those traditions are being challenged. You and I have traditions, whether they're birthday traditions. You know, we always want the same cake. Everybody in the whole family wants the same cake. Well, it's a tradition. We have greeting rituals that vary from culture to culture. If you come in the afternoon for Christo Redentor, be prepared because there's a lot of kissing. You know, we just don't usually do that in our culture. It's tradition. It's part of the tradition. As I say, many different types of traditions. Now we seem to be in a new age, in a new era, where traditions are just considered to be man-made strictures and structures, and they hold little value, it seems, in the modern world. So we have to tell people, you know, well, they want to know, what kind of worship do you have? Well, we have traditional worship. Does that mean we're just stuck in the past? We have old ways. We don't care what's happening in the world now. We're you know, this is just who we are. No, it means that we're rooted in something. Now, if you sit through our service for any number of weeks, you realize what we're rooted in is the Word of God. The service is simply filled with the Word of God. Those are our roots. And so we're traditional in that, yes, we're tied to the patterns, some of the patterns of the past, but we're tied fundamentally to the scriptures themselves. We're traditional in that sense. We're not afraid to draw things in from our culture. We need to. We believe in traditional marriage. I have difficulty with that phrase, actually. Oh, you believe in traditional? No, I believe in marriage. Okay? An institution established by God for the foundation of society, for the continuing of mankind upon the face of the earth, a reflection of the union of Christ, his bride, his church. And so in that sense, no, I don't believe in a traditional marriage, some man-made tradition. I believe in marriage. I have a traditional view of life, that it begins at conception. The traditions, these traditions of our faith must be passed on. I hold these traditions because they're founded not in the wisdom and the desires of men, but they have been declared in the unchanging, the unfailing word of God. As we come to this verse, I find that it really is the theme of the letter of Colossians. It's the key verse. It's going to tie everything together. It's going to set the stage for everything that's coming. He's talking about the Christian life being built on the foundation of Christ Jesus the Lord, linking everything from before to everything that follows. Because of this, all this, he has said, therefore, live in light of the staggering reality that you have been shown. In these verses, he shows us where the Christian life starts and how it progresses. He's going to give us three perspectives there, and where it leads into thanksgiving. Those perspectives, I think, can be divided up as living, you received, and you walk. As growing, you've been rooted and built, and you're being built up. And as knowing more of Christ, you've been taught, now be established in it. Three perspectives on the Christian life that he's going to, as the letter progresses, fill out wonderfully for us to help us in these things. So first, the Christian life, we can say, is a life in which we are living in Christ. Paul says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What have we received? I think today we often think of receiving Christ as that moment or that invitation. We invite Jesus into our heart and lives. And so we think of receiving Jesus as something we did. That happened once. Some of us can point to a time when that event took place. But what Paul is setting forth here is, as you received Christ Jesus, what has been passed down to you is really what we're looking at here. This is a more technical term than we're used to thinking about. Carried over from Judaism, denoting the passing of teaching from one person to another or from one generation to another. Hence, Deuteronomy chapter 6. What are the people of God receiving? Well, as our brother Ed pointed out, the commandments have just been repeated again. God's law has been set before them. And what they are to receive is that word in its fullness, in its glory and beauty. They're to take the whole thing. They're receiving all that God has given to them, has revealed to them. These are the traditions that have been passed down. And so Paul can write in this way when he says, now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. That's 1 Corinthians 11. If you turn back to 1 Corinthians 15, in the opening verses of that chapter, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received." You received the gospel. You didn't just receive, "Oh, I've invited Jesus into my heart, so there, I'm done with that, I'm finished." No, you receive the gospel, the whole of the gospel, the fullness, the fruit, the power of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, the breadth of it all. "This you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And then he says, "For I've delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures," the things that he received. And so when Paul says, "As you received Christ Jesus as Lord," it's not just that moment. It's everything. It's the traditions, it's the teaching, it's the instruction, it's all that comes through Jesus. Yes, we've received Christ and the teaching and the truth and the doctrines that he delivers, because there is our sure foundation. Because there we see Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is our foundation, a foundation. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. You heard the truth, you believed, you received that truth. And think about it, all that you received at that point. So much that the Lord had to bring to our understanding and our knowledge. There had to be an acknowledgement of my sin, a confession of it, a repentance, a turning away from it. There had to be an understanding of who Jesus is, that he's not just some man who happened to die in Jerusalem, but that this is the Son of God who has the authority and the power both to bear the weight and the punishment of sin and to give life through his resurrection. These are things that we understand because we're receiving the gospel. So walk, Paul says, in him. There is a life that follows. It is the Christian life. We've received that gospel. We have received Jesus Christ for a purpose. We won't go anywhere without him, that we might walk with him and in him in life and in death. In chapter 3, he's going to flesh this out more and more for us, what this walk looks like. When you receive Christ, you receive the traditions passed down from the apostles and from there to the teachers and the elders, from generation to generation to generation. That's what we've received, brothers and sisters, that which the Lord has set before us and preserved for us. So walk in him. He compares the Christian life. He sets out a different perspective then. Growing in Christ. Rooted and built up in him, he says. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up. Now, it's a mixed metaphor. Okay, Paul does that on occasion. He changes gears on us. 1 Corinthians 3:9. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." I think he's more comfortable with the city kind of images than the, you know, maybe he didn't grow up on a farm. He doesn't. That is pure speculation. Okay, because he uses all of those images beautifully. Rooted in him. Children, do you see there's a connection here to sinking those roots down? We need to be rooted in him. In that, life in Christ is going to be something entirely new. What Paul recognizes is that up to that before we received that gospel, before we received Christ, we had our roots sunk somewhere else. Some pretty deeply. Some so deep that they couldn't be uprooted and ripped out. They just had to be cut off. We had our roots probably in, well, not probably, undoubtedly in sand. Things that weren't going to last. Nothing secure, nothing safe. What were your roots in? I mean, you think about that. Were your roots in relationships? I just got to find the right one. Sink my roots there. Then I'm going to be okay. Maybe it's in an education. If I get the right credentials, if I get the right initials behind my name, well, then the world's my oyster. I still don't know where that phrase came from. Or your career? Sinking it down, that's going to be my provision. That's where I'm going to find my security. That's where I'm going to get my affirmation. How deep do you try and sink your roots there? Here's where my life is defined. It may be that you sank your roots in some philosophy or some philosopher, some ideal or some ism or strategy or method. All those roots, all of those roots, understand, are wrapped around one thing. Me. I'm sinking them into something other than the one who can provide, the one who can nourish, the one who can strengthen. And they're all wrapped around me to meet my needs, my concerns, my desires. Christ would have our roots in Him. Now rooted in a new environment, a new basis for life, a new foundation. Roots that sink down into Him can go deeper and deeper and deeper. No end. Never going to get pot bound. You ever do that? Beautiful looking plant. Oh, you just keep watering it. You just keep fertilizing it. It looks great. And then one day you realize, whoo, it's just dying off. And you pull it out of that thing and there's no dirt left. It's just this ball in there and it can't survive. It's never going to happen in Christ. And that soil is going to be rich. And it's going to be secure. And those roots are going to go so deep that you can't, that nothing in this life, and not even in death, can pull you out. There you're secure. And now you can grow. Now you're going to be nourished and fed. Now you can be built up. And of course, as we saw even in the meditation text, now I've got some work to do. If you want to think of the idea of a foundation, and it is possible that the language that Paul is using there in terms of being rooted can refer to a foundation as well, because it needs to be established. It needs to be fixed. You want something that isn't going to move. You need a rock there. Solid foundation. And now we get busy building on that. It isn't going to go anywhere, so we can trust it. And we can be built up in Him. The truth is we're rooted in the divine. We need to be rooted in the divine, not in the temporal, rooted not in ideas or philosophies, but in a person. Our roots sink not down into some thing that may or not have any real substance. We're not trying to sink them into ourselves by somehow thinking we can find satisfaction there, but in someone who is alive, ruling and reigning, actively at work on your behalf to bring to completion what He has begun. Our roots are in one who has no flaws and no failings, no contradictions and no inconsistencies, no unintended consequences if my roots are in Him. And so I can build on that. We hold on to the eternal Son. I'm dependent upon Christ the Lord. Who's the one in whom we're now rooted? Go back into chapter 1. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the creator and the sustainer of all things, the head of the church, the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden, the one, a little further on in chapter 2, the one in whom all the fullness of deity dwells. Unshakable. So those roots can sink deep. I was at a toss-up for our reading this morning because I thought not only of that Jeremiah passage that we had with the children, but Psalm 1. Not a man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, but one who delights in the law of the Lord, the one who is holding to those traditions. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Rooted. Rooted and built up in him. And so we're built up. He tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing or growing, we can translate that, in the knowledge of God. The point of being planted in Christ, that rich, life-giving source, is that we grow. If you're not growing, well, you need to ask some questions. What are you planted in? What am I really sinking my roots into? If the foundation is set firm and secure, you can build on it with confidence. You don't ignore the foundation. But nor do we just keep going back to the foundation. I think sometimes churches aren't seeing the fruit of the Spirit because they spend too little time nurturing the plant. We're just going back to, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. Well, yes, you do. But you receive the gospel when you receive Jesus. And we need to spend time there too. We need to be built up, not in the worldly sense. You know, the world says you need to be built up. Whatever encourages and aids your self-esteem, that's what needs to be encouraged. Because the cult of the self-esteem pretty much rules. We're to think highly of ourselves, and no one can tell us that our ideas are bad ideas, or our thoughts are bad thoughts, or our desires are bad thoughts. Because if we tell them that, well, they're going to feel badly about themselves. And we don't want anyone to feel badly about themselves. Meanwhile, the Lord says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves, more significant than yourselves. Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. See yourself in the light of these traditions, in the light of God's word, so that you see yourself rightly. We're under persecution, where people are angry with us all the time because we will not follow the cult of self-esteem. Because we keep saying there are things that are wrong and things that are right. There are things that are going to harm you, things that you want to do, things that you desire that are not good for you. And people don't want to hear it. And we will have to keep saying it. Because there is sin in the world and in our hearts. And left to ourselves, it will destroy us. And somehow, brothers and sisters, we have to find a way to keep speaking that message lovingly and graciously and as purposefully as we can. Because we can't affirm sin. If we do, it means we wish them hell, not well. We need to be built up in that godly sense, bearing fruit, growing stronger in a deeper dependence upon him, in a deeper knowledge of those traditions. And so Paul brings us to that third model, if you will, of the Christian life, of knowing more of Christ. He reverses the image this time. Rooted and built up in him, and then established in faith just as you were taught. He brings the response before the basis for it. But what were you taught? Christ shared what had been given to him And so he says, what you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4, 9 and 10. These are the traditions that you received. And he sets them out before us in a model, if you will. We're back to the start. What have you received? What were you taught? No more of it. Make it your own, so that you're established, so that we're strengthened in the faith. Salvation is the beginning. I don't know about you, but the first time I came across Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, I sat there in shock. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, and that's probably washings, you know, baptism, whether it's the baptism of John or the baptism in Christ. It may be about the washings that came through the Old Testament washings and things, or the laying on of hands for ordination, the laying on of hands for the work of the Spirit, the laying on of hands of healing. The resurrection of the dead, elementary doctrines here, just elementary doctrines. The resurrection of the dead, an eternal judgment. Now, I don't know how long I was a Christian. Took me a while to read through the whole Bible. Okay, these are the elementary things. I'm supposed to be moving past this, past the resurrection from the dead, past eternal judgment, past the elementary doctrines of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. I'm thinking, well, this is the doctrine. Yes, it is. And that's what you had when you received Christ. You have been brought from death to life. You have been given that eternal life. Judgment has passed over you because Christ has taken it. You've been brought to be baptized, in other words, to declare yourself as one of His own. Yes, these are elementary things, and we're building on them. I don't leave them. I don't forget them. But I need to know who Jesus is. I need to know who He is as my prophet and my priest and my king. I need to know who He is as that second person of the Trinity in His reign and rule over all things. I need to consider and ponder and pursue His power, His glory, His riches, His strength, so that I'm built up in those things. So that when these other things shake me, you know, when I think my foundation is moving, I know where my roots have been sunk and I'm being built up. And I need to receive the whole thing, knowing that my examination, my investigation for the rest of my life is only going to go deeper and richer. And I am going to be built up and I'm going to be strengthened and encouraged in Him as I know more of Him. We cannot be content with what we know, with what I've learned. I've got enough. I don't need to read the Bible now because I know the basics and I'm fine and I can handle it. I don't need to spend time there. I don't need to spend time in prayer. Well, you know, occasionally there are things that I want to lift up, but I'm doing fine, you know. I got Jesus. He's in my heart. Yep. Done. All set. No. Rooted. Rooted, encouraged and strengthened and built up, growing, learning, walking, putting that life, that knowledge, that Savior into my practice every day, making it my own, established in the faith. No, you'll never leave the gospel. You'll just learn more of it. These are the traditions. These are the teachings of the church, so that we seek a deeper grasp, a greater depth of knowledge and of faith. And then we live in such a way that we see the world as Jesus does. We come at it from a heavenly perspective. Our eyes are on things above and not on things of earth. Our hearts are attached to the things above and not the things of earth. So that when we're walking, being built up and secure in Christ, then we will truly abound in praise and thanksgiving as we see His hand so powerfully at work, leading, shaping, directing, ordering all things for His glory, for our good. And the truth is, such a life, if we're walking, if we're growing, if we are being built up and strengthened in that knowledge and faith, it's an experience of the goodness and the grace and the power of God. For if Christ and His work and His honor at the heart are at the heart of the life that we lead, it will work against pride and arrogance and self-satisfaction, against self-idolization, about all those roots that want to come back and wrap themselves around me. And it will bring forth that joyous, genuine thanksgiving. We have a responsibility, brothers and sisters, to pass those traditions on. Not my family traditions, not the man-made traditions. Jesus spoke very pointedly against those whose lives were wrapped around the traditions of men and not the traditions of the faith and of the Word of God. But we need to be passing them on, like our forefathers did from Deuteronomy. Teaching, admonishing, instructing, modeling, and sharing. And you and I need to hear these traditions, these truths, this teaching that has been passed down and passed on. Now maybe more than ever, as our faith, our hope, our beliefs in the eternal truth of the gospel of salvation in Christ, comes under increasing challenges. May we be built up. And may we be building one another up on that sure foundation, sinking roots ever more deeply into that rich soil of God's Word and His grace and of Christ, reminding one another of these things and how precious and how vital they are, and we need to hold on to them. As more and more we find our traditions running counter to the ways of the world. God, give us the grace to conform our lives to the one whom we have received and to receive all that He brings, all that He offers, all that He gives, and not be satisfied with just a portion, just a bit. May we walk in Him day by day, firmly rooted in Him, such that we're nourished and strengthened and built up in Him. May we be established in this living faith, just as we were and are being taught. And so with our eyes open to the majesty, to the power of God at work in us and for us, may we abound in thanksgiving to our great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, our lives are not tied to the traditions of men, but to Your perfect and faithful Word, both this written Word, Father, that sets forth the traditions, the ways, the life, the power of the living Word, Jesus Christ. How we praise You, Father, that we have been granted the grace to believe and therein received Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, Father, may that Lordship be evident in us as we walk in Him, as we are built up in Him and building one another up, as we are more and more established in the faith that we might be, Lord, secure in this life and in the life to come. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.